It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 13th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It has been brewing for a long time, and Brexit may complicate matters, but this week the U.S. and the European Union agreed on new guidelines for sharing data across the Atlantic Ocean. The EU-U.S. Privacy Shield is the update needed after the European Court of Justice ruled against the former Safe Harbor Agreement. So we're all good, right?
I think it's not going to pass muster in the EU courts.
Skepticism via Susan Aronson of George Washington University. She says now that the plan is approved, we have to wait and see how it plays out. If it does work, the agreement would allow European companies and users some recourse if they felt their bits were being mistreated in the U.S.
So let's say they're on a German telecommunications provider, and they can complain to them and say, "You violated my privacy."
After that, a national data protection authority in the European country could come and work with U.S. agencies to investigate. A little bit of comfort in a post-Snowden leaks world, but perhaps one that European courts may not find stringent enough. Speaking of privacy, Facebook announced recently that it was introducing something called secret conversations, which, when switched on, means you're using end-to-end encryption. Facebook's WhatsApp, Wickr, among others, do this as well. To talk more with us about E2EE, as it is called, is Chester Wisniewski, Senior Security Advisor at the security firm Sophos. Hi, Chester. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks for having me back, Ben.
All right. End-to-end encryption. Definition?
Well, there's no intermediary, right? The idea is that your protected communications go directly from the device that you type them into to the person receiving it at the other end, and there's no stops in the middle.
Right. This is an interesting idea, right? Because you could say that this is yet another way for companies to kind of remove themselves from the law enforcement question.
Absolutely. I mean, the idea is that if we can't access things, then we can't be asked to surrender them under a warrant or any other type of legal action.
Chester, can you give me an example of a company that's dealing with this issue of encryption right now?
Yeah, I think the best example, Ben, in the news this week was at Uber, where the news broke that some executives were using Wickr to communicate with a private investigator. That communication is now of interest to a judge in a court case, except Wickr not only encrypts your messages, but securely deletes them after 72 hours. So there's really no way for them to hand over this communication that the courts are interested in.
The Guardian reports that members of parliament used WhatsApp to actually talk about party leaders, to discuss party leadership. Is this something that's allowed here in the U.S.?
Well, it's important for politicians, of course. Anything that they're doing as part of their official duties needs to be, available as part of the public record. And, that makes these types of things questionable. Although we also know that, as long as they're not using congressional postage or congressional telephones to campaign, they're allowed to use private communications, right?
Right.
So I guess if they're just dishing dirt on each other, it might be okay. But if they're discussing a bill, it wouldn't be. It's pretty murky water.
Chester Wisniewski, Senior Security Advisor at the online security firm Sophos. Chester, nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Ben.
According to the social media statistics website Social Blade, National Geographic, Nike, and Instagram itself are the only companies among Instagram's top 20 user accounts. I won't make a joke about how The Rock and Kim Kardashian are basically brands now, not real people. I will say its 55 million users prove at Nat Geo has embraced the future. Susan Goldberg is editor-in-chief of National Geographic magazine, and she recently wrote a piece about how the company keeps its high standards in the digital age. Susan, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Why did you decide to write this piece now?
I decided to write it because people ask me about it all the time. You know, now that everybody is a photographer, everybody is carrying a camera with them at all times, I think the idea of photography is very much top of mind for people. And people want to know how to take good pictures, and they also want to understand that what they're seeing is credible and true.
Can you talk a little bit more about image correction and how exactly the company is using Photoshop?
So the only kinds of corrections that we make, if there's, say, dust on a lens or a scratch on a scanned negative, standard, normal kind of color correction, we do all of that work ourselves to make sure of the accuracy of it.
you guys have had some instances where the magazine maybe crossed the line a little bit. Tell me about this cover from 1982.
Well, in 1982, we had a beautiful picture that come to us. It was a horizontal picture, and it shows a camel train in front of the pyramids of Giza. This was a horizontal image, but here at headquarters, it was altered to fit our vertical cover. And in so doing, that pushed the pyramids closer together. And of course, there was a huge firestorm.
It was like you were taking a picture of them and you were like, hey, can you get a little closer together there for me? And then you just kind of nudged them in post.
Right. I guess the editors at the time really just wanted it to fit the frame that we had to work with. But what's interesting to me about this is exactly what we would never do. This just does not happen now.
What was the last photograph you took that you're really proud of, and did you put a filter on it?
I'm a horrible photographer. All right, the last photograph I took, I was at a 4th of July parade. There was a little kid sitting next to me who was waving an American flag, and so I took a picture of him, and I tweeted it out, and I just said, everybody loves a parade, hashtag 4th of July.
Filter or no filter?
No filter.
Hashtag no filter, as they say. All right.
Exactly.
Susan Goldberg is editor-in-chief of National Geographic Magazine. Susan, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks so much, Ben.
If you are submitting to Nat Geo as a civilian, by the way, they will want the original digital file and answers to some other questions about how you captured it. And if you want to see that photo of the pyramids that got squished, you can go to marketplace.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.